of the Power of Us podcasts are not licensed therapists, medical professionals, legal advisors, or certified experts. The views and opinions expressed by the host are based on personal experiences and are intended solely for informational, inspirational, and educational purposes.
Welcome to our next episode of The Power of Us. My name is JJ Holly.
And I'm Monica Daigneau.
And we are very pleased to welcome Ms. Jamie Friels Rooney, who's the executive director from Mosaics of Mercy. So, Jamie, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having
me. Welcome,
Jamie.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay, so I have worked previously in community mental health and also hospital administration. So I moved to the Houston area about 15 years ago and helped with UHS in the transition, and then opened up several hospitals from startups with Springstone Health and then with Eating Recovery Center here in Houston in the Woodlands. And then after COVID, I decided to take a short sabbatical, and that's when Mosaics, I'd worked with them for years, but that's when it came into my plate of, would this be something you'd be interested in helping grow this organization in Montgomery County? So that's how I ended up at Mosaics. Yeah.
Can you tell us more about Mosaics and what you guys provide to the community?
Yeah, so Mosaics is actually a very unique model. We provide mental health and substance use resource navigation. So you can make one call and you reach a licensed clinician who will take in a whole lot of different information, understanding what's going on with you, look at financial, cultural, any of the individual needs that they would need to gather to create and curate an individualized list of providers for that individual. So many times people call in and they don't know what they need. They just know they need something, or that they're struggling, or that their loved one is. And that's where the counselors come in and play a huge role in that, is they can hear someone's story, take in all the information, and they know what resources they're needing. A lot of times in the mental health world, it's very complex and people get lost and hit brick walls, and then they just kind of lose hope and they just stop. And so we found that when you have someone that can walk alongside them and navigate, similar to like what I would consider like cancer navigation, where people kind of get lost in that shuffle and the insurance world and all the, you know, acronyms and lingo, and is that our navigators, our navigators do all of that work for them. And they provide them with a list. We try to give at least three providers that will take their insurance or the amount they can pay and have availabilities and openings in 48 hours if they call them. And so we also give them local support groups, any other basic needs or resources they may need within Montgomery County, Harris County, Waller, Walker, and Grimes County. We serve all those counties.
So how many people do you help like per month or?
Well, I would say on last year we served around 3,800 individuals through our navigation. We also have an online where people can go to our database, which are verified resources, and they can search themselves. The problem with that is many times people get full, or they're not taking new clients, or maybe they stop taking a certain insurance because of reimbursement. So they can find the resources there, but they may run into some obstacles with accessing services. So last year we served around 3,800 and like 40 something individual callers.
That's a lot.
We have 11 licensed clinicians that are part-time and they're navigators, and one full-time lead navigator.
So is this a 24-hour operation? How does that work? So if I needed help and it's, I don't know, 11 p.m. at night and I just don't know who to turn to, what happens if I can reach you guys, and how do I reach you?
Right. So we're not a crisis number. So I always tell people we are more prevention and intervention before and after a crisis. So we're not open in the evening hours. People can reach out to us via email. We're also working on an AI portal where it can gather a lot of that information and best time to call back. And then we can schedule in a licensed clinician to return the call at the time that works best for the individual. So, after hours, you would receive a voicemail, which you would leave a message, or you could email us and someone would return that call during normal business hours. And one of the reasons it's so important that we're open during normal business hours is we have the relationships with all the providers, and we've got to make sure that they have openings and availabilities and they can take the person. So we partner with, you know, every provider, every other nonprofit, our crisis intervention teams with the sheriff's department and constables, and also Tri-County. So those are the crisis areas. Like if someone's in crisis, they need to call 911 or go to one of those facilities. But we will do the support if they're there and maybe they're not in crisis, they just need a resource. We'll do the follow-up and help them.
What would you say the turnaround time is to, if someone called or left a voicemail or email, what is the turnaround time to actually assist them with getting the help?
So we return every call within 24 business hours, and we provide the resources within 48 business hours, unless there is a very gap in like a gap in services or something that's very hard to find. And we maybe don't even have that resource in our county and they're not able or willing to travel outside our area. But within 48 hours, we should be able to give them a individualized curated list of providers.
So if there's someone that you cannot help provide the resources, what is the next step for them?
Yeah, so typically we walk alongside them and we find them the next best available option. So it may not be exactly what they're needing, but we will give them some resources. We'll also give them places in the community they can go for support. And we keep continuing to search or help them find scholarships or access those services that maybe they are not able to have access to at that time for either money, like location, or lack of service here.
Is there a fee for the service that Mosaic provides?
No, everything that we do is free of service. So we are here to help really get our community connected with all the providers and the mental health and substance use resources that we have in Montgomery County. You know, we realize that Montgomery County's suicide rate is extremely high. If you look at it, it's higher than Texas, it's higher than Houston and Fort Bend per resident. Wow. So if we have a very high suicide rate, and one of the things that our county did and when they invested in Mosaics was really looked at why is our suicide rate so high? And so they hired a group out of Austin UT that came in and they did a qualitative study and found out that people did not know where to go or how to access services here. Things are siloed. People, they would go to their doctor. Well, you go to a physician and they're like, I have no idea. I know medicine. I know how to give medication to fix a health issue, but mental health, they don't keep up with those resources or know exactly what we even have in our county. So that's where we came with Mosaics being kind of that hub and connector. We're not a provider. We work with all of the providers. We're in a partnership right now, and we piloted it with Memorial Hermann, where physicians can directly refer to us like they would for lab work. They can fax over a referral. We connect with their patient. We provide the patient with the resources, and we also send it back to the electronic medical record for the physician so that when the patient comes back in, they can follow up with them. So we're hoping that bridging that gap there and helping people have someone walk alongside them and access those services, and we do follow up in 72 hours to ensure that everyone was connected, and if not, why? And is there some other resources or additional help you may need to be connected?
So what other resources are you connecting people in need with?
Yeah, so we connect them with individual counselors, psychiatrists in our area, outpatient services, which are partial hospitalizations. We also are connecting them with our hospital services for psychiatric hospitalization. We're connecting them with Yes to Youth, Interfaith, even the food bank. Many times when individuals call in, there is a basic need or something else that's going on. And, you know, several of the examples we give, they're looking for a mental health service, but there's also an array of other things that they're needing assistance with. It could be transportation, it could be veteran type services, accessing care, who to contact. So we kind of walk alongside them. And I tell people all the time, we're not miracle workers, but we can connect with our other nonprofits, our other church agencies, government agencies, and try to find a resource that we can, a direct contact that we can say, here's who to call and here's a direct number, because many times they get lost in those call systems and chains.
I love the fact that even if you cannot help someone calling in or emailing, you can help lead them to another potential resource.
Right. And one thing that we've noticed in Montgomery County, which was very strange because when I first came on, I thought, okay, where we're going to have problems is finding government-funded insurance providers in our county. No, that was not the issue. So what we noticed after a year and a half when I started looking at our data, our middle-class families that were insured, we were struggling. The connection rate for them was lower. And I was like, why? So I'd go into the records and it was, that's a lot of money right now. A lot of our individual providers do not take health insurance because they're one-man show, and to bill it and try to get reimbursed is a lot of work. And the reimbursement rates in Texas are really not good. So they are cash only. Well, the going rate is $160 to $250 an hour. And for a family, that's a lot of money. Yes. And I mean, people can, both parents can be working, or it could be a single parent. They have health insurance. They want to use it. They need a specialized provider. If they don't get the right service, sometimes that's more harmful than helpful.
Right.
So what we did is we decided to create a scholarship that was unique, because we have wonderful services like Yes to Youth, Interfaith, that will do indigent, no insurance, low cost. But for the middle-class families that are insured, there really wasn't
There's a gap.
Right.
So what we did was that we found when our navigators are talking to the callers, they're asking the questions like, how much could you afford? What's the maximum amount you could afford, you know, weekly, monthly? And they get a rate. And that's part of our assessment, is that if we can't find a provider that takes their insurance and can fit in that range, we can scholarship them. So we've been very blessed with the Run for G Foundation of giving us scholarship money. We also received some from East Montgomery County, and we were applying for more because right now we currently have 15 scholarships going. And these are families that otherwise wouldn't be able to get themselves or their child the treatment that they need. And some of them are government-funded insurance, and there's not an eating disorder specialist that takes that insurance or a provider, and they don't have that person at Interfaith or Yes to Youth. And so we will scholarship them to see the right dietitian and clinician to help them get the treatment that they need. So that's been something that we started last year, and we piloted and found that it's a huge need, and it's filling a big gap. And especially with our young adults who are just starting to work, they've graduated from college, they thought they were going to make these big six figures, they have health insurance, they're not quite, but they need some therapy, or they need psychiatry, and they can't afford those rates, that we can then scholarship them if we can't find those providers.
So what's the formula to be able to be awarded a scholarship?
So the formula is basically that our navigators have exhausted everything. We have over 2,000 resources in our database that are verified. We have direct contact with most of our providers. If they cannot find someone that will take their insurance that clinically is appropriate, that can fall in the price range that they can afford, then we can offer them a scholarship, because we've exhausted everything and looking through all the resources and what we have available in our county. And then what that looks like basically is that we contract with the providers and we pay them, they pay a copay still, whatever they can afford, and then we pay the provider up to $120 an hour. So they work with a negotiated rate for us. Wow. And it's usually lower than what they would charge, but there's not one provider in Montgomery County who does not scholarship, that, you know, will not accept our rate. And then we just pay them after each session directly. And we give them, it's a time limited sessions up to 12 to 24, depending on what's going on and with the individual.
Yeah. How long are the sessions?
Usually? An hour.
Okay.
They're usually 45 minutes to an hour.
So you have to spend a lot of time probably cultivating this database, making sure it's up to date.
So we have our back end side, which is our HIPAA compliant side. It's also where our resource provider applications come in and where our navigators are constantly updating information as they're reaching out to providers so that we can keep it as up to date the best that we can. But yeah, we started with like 200 and, you know, now we're at like 2000. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Do you find that it's hard to find enough professional services in Montgomery County? That seems to be another challenge for mental health.
I think that it depends on like the specialized services, like looking for someone who truly specializes in OCD or eating disorders or substance use or detox. Like sometimes those services are harder to find here. than just more like generalized counseling for anxiety or depression. But also it's a challenge finding after school weekend, you know, appointments for students. So they fill up very quickly, and providers don't typically always like to work on the weekends or evenings. So, you know, that can be a challenge too. I don't think it's necessarily the number of providers. It's finding what fits with people's schedules and, you know, availability and what their need is.
Well, that's encouraging. Mm-hmm. That was one of the concerns I'd heard early on.
Yeah.
That we just had a lack of providers in the area.
Yeah. I think there's a lot more providers than we realized, but people don't know how to access them, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's where we're getting to know all these providers, and, you know, we have very quick ways to get in touch. Usually it's text messaging or, you know, an email or their assistant, you know, like we have different ways where we can get them to reply back fairly quickly so we can get individuals connected within that 48-hour time frame.
What are some of the services that you do not help with, or are there any?
Well, you know, I would say that, you know, basic needs. A lot of times people will call and, you know, they need some mental health services. We will help 100% with that, but they need help with their utilities.
Gotcha.
Or whatever. We don't actually help with that, but we will make calls and get them a direct contact either through the Catholic Church or through Interfaith or, you know, whatever organization is right fit for them. But we don't actually provide those services. We will just provide that connection.
You know, in every discussion we've had, it's been people just don't know where to go.
Yeah.
And then they're in a bad spot for multitudes of reasons. It's not just a black and white, you know, easy flip of a switch to fix. There's a lot of things going on, and which leads them down those, you know, that dark trail.
So, like, a good example is that we had a man call in, and he was a veteran, but he was calling in on behalf of a lady that he and another group of veterans helped transport her. She had been in war. She was disabled. She was on oxygen. So Uber, you know, all the things that make public transportation hard for someone with a disability, with a walker and oxygen, make it even more of a challenge. But what he had noticed, he called us because she had some PTSD from her service, time in service, but he noticed her trash can wasn't being put out. So he called us and said, you know, I really think we need to get her, you know, into some mental health treatment. And he goes, I asked her today, you know, I've been picking you up for a week now, and I've never seen you put your trash can out. And she said, oh, it's just too hot. I just throw it in the garage. So, but she was very shameful and prideful about that. Yeah. And when they opened the garage, it was years of trash that she had just thrown out the door and shut it. So they called us initially trying to help find some mental health services for her because she was having trouble accessing them through the VA and was also very prideful about that. And so would just kind of stop. And her transportation was so limited. Mm-hmm. Well, we got with a group, a veterans group here, and he and his team came out and they cleaned out the whole garage. Mm-hmm. Then we connected. We realized she was door dashing food.
Wow.
Because she didn't have transportation. And so we connected her with Meals on Wheels.
Mm.
So then we also found out through that, I mean, she had cancer, just been diagnosed with cancer and couldn't get to her appointments back and forth. We connected her with Canopy. We also got Meals on Wheels to provide transportation because mm-hmm. she couldn't get transportation through Interfaith for cancer because they have volunteers and they don't want to try to, like, people would maybe miss an appointment because volunteers show up when they show up sometimes, right? And so connecting to all those resources and getting her a counselor that she could virtually see and making sure that counselor was sensitive to her PTSD and also to her cancer and her health issues really, I mean, changed her life. And just connecting her to all of those different resources in our county that she didn't know how to access or that we even had. And you know, she thought Meals on Wheels, you needed to be over 65.
That's what I assumed.
You can be a veteran.
Wow.
Yeah. And if it's a medical condition that would require and they can't get transportation, they have transportation and they're able to get her to all her appointments, which I learn stuff new all the time. Yeah. And I thought to myself, wow, the things that we don't have in our county that prohibit for people from not just accessing mental health, but physical health.
Absolutely.
Nutrition, shopping, like, you know, these people, the friends were taking her grocery shopping each week. That's how they realized the trash can wasn't out. And then all of that just turned into this this big, a lot of needs that she had and didn't know where, how to access them here. And she lived in Magnolia, right there. Yeah. in a middle class, nice neighborhood, but people just, they don't know. You don't know sometimes.
It's one of the reasons why we have the Power of Us, because of people like you guys, your organization, to come on and to share the resources that are available to our folks.
That's why I was so excited when I heard you all were doing this, because the more that we can get out the resources that we have and what they are, kind of remove that stigma. Some people think, oh, I can't go there, or, you know, I don't qualify for that. You know, there's stigma there. Absolutely. You know, we all need help and we need to know where to go and how to access it. And that can be hard.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the roadblocks, if any, that you find or that you've come across?
I would say some of the roadblocks would be with our adolescents, the higher acuity, having resources in Texas or around here for residential treatment to get them, you know, back on their feet or where they need to be able to live at home. Also with our neurodiversity, our autism, those resources are so hard to find sometimes. Finding, you know, especially as they're adults and they're aging out, trying to find, help them get connected with a person to keep their Medicaid and all the things that are there that prohibit them from accessing care. Those are big roadblocks that we many times don't see, and the socialization and the activities and things that they need, we, you know, are not just, people don't know how to find them necessarily. And there are some here, but there's not a huge and abundance amount. And there's a lot of wait lists for those things, like New Danville, they have a great program, but there are wait lists. And then our foster care kids, we see when they're aging out, you know, Angel Reach has a great transition program. Mm-hmm. But there are still several that are aging out that don't want to go that route or different things. And so we do see, you know, roadblocks there that are really hard to figure out how to get these individuals where they need to be and connected. And many times it's more than just mental health too. Like there's other things that need to take place for them to have their basic needs taken care of.
So how did Mosaics of Mercy start in Montgomery County?
So in 2016, there were a group of women, and most of them went to the Methodist Church, but they were either struggling themselves or with their child or a neighbor or a loved one with mental health or substance use issues, and they didn't know where to go. Mm. And they were also maybe not too comfortable sharing with everyone because afraid that people would be like,
that stigma,
right? Yeah. So they started a group as like a kind of a support group, and they were making these mosaic cards and really trying to help each other get connected. And they realized, man, we need somewhere here. Like Houston has the Council on Recovery. Places have hubs, but there's nothing in Montgomery County. People don't go to the church if they're comfortable enough, but not always are they comfortable enough to do that. And the stigma. So they thought if there's a centralized place where someone who understands how to navigate this complex system, that would help individuals in our community know where to go for services. So that's how it got started, was with a group of moms. And then, like I said, it grew. And then after COVID, our county was like, we've got to do something. You know, we are losing way too many young adults, adolescents, adults, elderly, veterans, everyone to suicide. And we've got to be able to figure out how we support our community better in the mental health arena, especially.
Well, Mosaic, you guys are a success story. Do you have, or is there a success story that you would like to share with us that just touched your heart? And
oh my goodness, there's so many. You know, we recently, as we teamed up with our medical providers, and we piloted it first with about 5 different physicians. And through that, we worked with women's health. We also had a cardiologist and family medicine, and then a weight management clinic. But through the family health, a lady had seen our brochure and picked it up, and she was she had a midwife, and she was experienced serious depression, anxiety. She was pregnant. She was about, I think, 8 months pregnant at the time, 7.5. And our midwife was dismissing it. Oh, this is normal. These things happen. You need to meditate.
The postpartum deal.
Yeah, and it's before she had the baby. You need to do that. And she, it was debilitating. Her husband worked in Houston and downtown. And she was home a lot, and just suicidal ideations were forming. And she just got to a point where she couldn't do it anymore. And so she had picked up our flyer. She had gone to a Lamaze thing and saw our flyer and picked up and thought, this is gonna be my last call. I need to call someone because I can't do this anymore. And I need to show that I at least tried one more time for my family and my husband.
Wow.
And when she called, the thing about it is, it's so important. And I say our model is very different because we actually have these licensed clinicians and mental health professionals answering the calls. They know what to ask. And immediately my clinician said, you know, she started asking questions. She started talking about ideation and she got concerned. And she said, she did the therapist pause and said, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And she said, they went silent. She said, no, I'm not. I'm not okay. I have a gun. I have a letter. You're my last call. My husband's at work. And she said, okay, I need you to stay on the phone with me and I'm going to get help. And we called in with the crisis intervention team. Mm-hmm. We then went to her house. They were safely able to remove the gun. They had the letter. They took her in ambulance. They stayed on the phone with the navigator till they got her in the ambulance. Mm-hmm. And then later the lady called back and followed up and said, if you had not been there, I wouldn't be here. And her husband and her mom called also thanking us profoundly. But at that point, we connected her to resources for when she got out. She stayed at a short stay on the psychiatric unit and then in the OB unit to be monitored. But the husband was devastated. We got him virtual resources that he could use at work. And the mother was like, how did I miss this? Like, what? You know, so we connected them to the resources and it's a huge success story. She's had the baby. They're doing great. She's, you know, followed through with the physicians and the postpartum stuff and has her counselor. And, you know, that's just the importance of what you do is, you know what you hear on the other end, but being able to connect them. And then we just didn't connect her. We pulled her family in. And many times we see that happen as people call in.
But they need a support system.
And we got her connected with all the different support groups in the area. And so, it, you know, to me, that's what we do, is there's people that don't know where to go and they've hit so many brick walls and they just get tired and worn down and they feel like there's no help. They feel hopeless. And having someone stand beside them and walk and making sure they get connected to that journey is a crucial part in the mental health because it can be wear you down fast with the dead ends. And I'm not taking any clients. You get frustrated. You're like, okay, I can't make any more calls.
You can be in the best of moods.
Yeah.
Get very frustrated.
Very, very much so. Yeah.
Do you get a lot of the people that you assist? Do you get the stories of the ends of how everything turned out for them?
Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. So, you know, we have on our website now, and he spoke at a breakfast we did at Trulux, but we helped a young man, well, he's a young adult man. He worked at Trulux, and getting him connected totally changed his life. And he loves to share that because there was such a stigma in being a man and asking for mental health services and counseling was just very hard for him. But having someone get him and ensure he had the right counselor, because many times we don't have but one chance. And so that's why it's so important that our counselors are listening and taking in all the information and making sure that the match that they are giving them culturally fits them, is appropriate for what's going on, and they can kind of understand personality. We know many of the providers here. And so that way we can give them a list of three people that we think would be a great and good match. And we're not always perfect, but sometimes you have that one chance and you want to make sure that you have the most appropriate provider, because when you don't, it can cause more help than, I mean, more harm than help. Right. So.
How can the community help Mosaics of Mercy?
Yeah, so we do a gala once a year, and it's in January. And so we'll be having our gala on January 31st at the Woodlands Resort. And through that, we have sponsorships. We have volunteer opportunities for individuals that can help us with that. We also partner with the Run for Jeev. So the Sanjeev Memorial Foundation was founded by some parents here who lost their son tragically to suicide while he was at UT. And so we are the beneficiary of that run. So we partner with them. They can help with that. We're also going to be partnering with a group that does a golf tournament. We will be the beneficiary of it. We won't be actually doing all the legwork because we're a small team. But so we have that. So people can always, you know, help support through that, through donations online. Because like I said, all of our services are free of charge and volunteer time, you know.
And what would volunteers do for Mosaics?
Yeah, so we have several different ways that individuals volunteer. They either volunteer through our committees or our gala, our community outreach, or they make the Mosaics hearts that we send out to every caller, and that's just basically kind of like a sign of hope, like that we're here for you. Mm-hmm. Everything is broken at one time, but it can be all put back together and a beautiful again with the right resources. So we send those out to callers so they can help make us make those through the process. We have volunteers that help us with cleaning up some of the stuff in our database and reaching out to new providers. We have volunteers that come in and do different service projects like NCL, NCR. They do a lot of our heart workshops, but they do a lot with our resources and our, you know, activities that we have going on.
So there's a lot of stuff outreach that a volunteer can help Mosaics do.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Social media, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
Is there anything that we did not touch on that you would like everyone to know about Mosaics?
I just want everyone to know that there is hope and there's help in this chaotic world that we live in, that sometimes it can feel overwhelming. And that we don't provide the service, but we make sure you're connected to those providers in our community. And we work with everyone in our community. And so if you are a provider and you're not in our system, please go online and fill out our provider application. And if you want to learn more about Mosaics or have us speak to anyone, you can always reach out through the email on our website or reach out to me directly at jamie@mosaicstx.org, and we will have someone come out and either speak to you or give more information. If you're a nonprofit, you know, always make sure you're in our system as well. Any resources we have in our community, basic needs, everything we have in our system for individuals. So that would be
great.
Available.
Great.
You do a great job representing Mosaics.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I learned a lot more about the organization. I thought I knew, and I didn't. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, Jamie.
Yes.
If you or someone you know is struggling or in crisis, help is available. We have a team of people waiting in the wings. You may not think so, but there are people out there that will be able to assist you and get you help in the direction you may need to go. Why don't you guys like and follow our Facebook page, The Power of Us Podcast, on Facebook, and share this with someone that may need it. Again, Jamie, thank you for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to The Power of Us.